Okay, yeah, I don't really have much of an open statement if you want to know how I feel or felt. I guess all you got to do is look at that picture that they had up there with the kind of my facial expressions. But it's great to be here. I guess I'm the last one going, so appreciate you hanging around. I also want to mention Mike Montoro, our media people. Where is he at? He got a plaque, some kind of award he got, and he's carrying it around like it's his prized possession. So if you all were involved in it, there he is down there. Thank you. Congratulations, Mike. Great. Great. Get a round of applause for Mike and Mike over there. That's all good. But no, appreciate you hanging around. That's all my opening statement.
All right. We'll open center right, second row.
And Tortora, wake up call DT.com. Looking at Scotty Fox as well as Michael Hawkins in this heated battle going into the fall, just what it's done for this team, how it's ignited the offense, and what you see from the two guys as the Mountaineers get set for 2026.
Yeah, I guess I have a loaded answer to an easy question. You know, we kind of flipped the roster again, 80 get new guys again this year, and it wasn't, we just had to because we had a lot of seniors last year. We had a little bit more money this year, a lot more time, a little bit more intent on who we wanted to get out of the portal. So now we only got, I think, 14 or 15 seniors. But we wanted to have competition in every position and legitimate competition. And we wanted guys that had production, not potential. So at the quarterback spot, Scotty coming back, he played as a really young true freshman last year and competed well. He's got better. But we wanted a guy that could, you know, we think could compete with a starting job and maybe be take us to another whole level. And that was Mike Hawkins, who had a great spring. He could run, he could throw. The thing that I thought was most impressed with Mike and Scotty both in spring is with their decisiveness. You know, a lot of times a quarterback is still learning the system and they hold on to the ball too long or they hesitate. And Mike and Scotty were both really, really decisive in their actions. So I'm excited about those two leading the charge there. But I also think we're able to get competition at just about every position. And we look more for production as opposed to potential. You know, guys that had been very productive, whether it's at a group of five school or what have you, that started and played in college games and wanted to try to play at the highest level. And so I thought our staff did a good job with that. I think the few returning players we have coming back have done a great job of helping us establish the culture, reestablish the culture, I guess you could say. And so I feel pretty confident we're better all the way around.
Center left in the back.
Hey, Coach. Robert Aronoff, 924-7. One of the storylines we followed last year was kind of the dual homecoming of you and Scott Frost back to the programs where you had a higher level of success. Last year, you told us you know where the traps are laid, you know where the bodies are buried, and that made the transition easier. Now, we know that probably you and Scott Frost did not experience the success you were hoping for last year.
I found a couple of those traps that we I knew where they're at, and I still got tripped up by them, but no, go ahead.
You know, we know about Frost coming from outside of college ball and coming in late in the process, but it had been a handful of years since you had been in power football, a power football conference. What experiences did you have this past year that's going to change how you move forward and how you conduct your business?
Yeah, the game is constantly evolving. I mean, I said this last year. I mean, you could brag about having so many years of experience, but if you never learned or grew from your experience, you don't have 20-some years of experience. You got 1 year repeated 20-some times, right? Well, now, especially true with where college athletics is at, college football in general, I mean, you got to be able to manage your money. You're paying players, so you got to pay the right guys. If you make a mistake, you got to own up to it and make adjustments. If you made the right move, you got to make sure you lock them in. Money helps solve a lot of problems. You know, you could make more mistakes if you got more money, but you still got to make the right decisions on staffing and on players and play calls, all that kind of stuff. So as tough as it was at times last year, I think it was our biggest learning year going forward to this year because we knew we'd have a little bit more, you know, we have a full rep share now. You know, last year we didn't have that. You know, we had more time to find guys that were productive at the other schools that played college football as opposed to we didn't have any offensive linemen that started games last year. So we were able to get more guys we thought were ready to play and more competition in all the positions. And you got to constantly evolve a little bit. You know, you know, I've been around long enough to know that we're, you know, college football, in my opinion, is such a great entity. It's hard to screw it up, but there's so many things going on right now that's going to try to screw it up. But you've got to try to overcome it the best way you can, and we have a good plan for that. The good part of that, I felt this way last year, and I feel even more so now. You have to win in college athletics. You have to be aligned all the way from the top down, from your board, your president, your athletic director, obviously your coaches and your players, and your fan base as well. And we have that in West Virginia. We are aligned with where we want to go to. So I feel confident we'll be a lot better this year, probably a lot better than people predict, but we've got to prove that first.
Center left, second row.
Hi, Coach. Lacey Hawtham from D210 Sports. What's one thing fans may not know about this group that you think they'll see once the season starts?
What's the question?
They may not know about this group that you think they'll see once the season starts.
About our school? Country Roads. It's become viral, is it not? You know, it used to be kind of just a little thing we played after we won a game. We started it in 2002. And then our baseball team makes the great run, and then they see it nationally. And now all of a sudden there's World Cup teams playing Country Roads. I don't know if they truly know the meaning of it, but I'm kind of glad they do that, because West Virginia is – I'm a West Virginia native. I'm a West Virginia guy. And so it's not really a secret to me how fabulous our state is. But every time Country Roads gets sung, every time it gets played, the people in our state have a lot of pride, because – if you're from West Virginia, or you went to West Virginia, or you're a West Virginia fan, you know, it means something to you. And I take a lot of personal pride in the fact that we're such a small state. I think we might be the smallest state that has a Division I Power Four program. And so, we're the only Power Four program, and no NBA, no NFL other team. And so there's a lot of pride that goes into our sports teams, in particular our football program. So I want our players to understand that. Our players are from all over. We got 20-some different states, 3 different countries. But when they get to West Virginia, those country roads kind of binds them all together, and it's kind of a neat place to be at. It's not kind of, it is a neat place to be at.
Far left in the back.
Taylor Kittin, Charles, Get Mail. Wow, the echo. Sorry, my fault. But Coach, talk about Nick Crae's leadership from last year to now. How has that grown, especially in your culture and the tradition that you guys are continuing to grow?
What was the question about what has grown?
Nick Crae's leadership.
I'll slow down a little bit.
Nick Crae,
his
leadership.
Nick. Okay, yeah. Nick last year was probably our most productive and best offensive lineman. And Nick could play tackle, but when we brought in Coach Rick Trickett, the new O-line coach, he wanted to try him at guard. He thought that would be Nick's natural position. And he had a great spring at guard, but he could play guard. He could play tackle. He knows the system. He's kind of the leader up front. And I don't need rah-rah leaders. I don't need that. And Nick's not that guy. But from his work ethic, from his talent, the way he represents our program, he's everything we want in leading the guys up front. And I think Nick will be one of the best linemen in our league this year. And he's still getting better, you know, with Coach Trickett's coaching and with Nick's ability and work ethic, I think he's an all-conference guy.
Center right, third row.
Hey, Coach. James Techman to White Road Sun. You talked about, you know, changes in college football and how the game's constantly evolving. You have Caden Lewis who's coming in as a true fullback from Arizona. Can you talk about what you can expect from him contributing to your offense, and also the challenge of finding fullbacks in this day and age of playing spread football?
Yeah, it's the fullback position kind of went away for a long time. A lot of times nowadays you just use a tight end in that role. But we wanted a guy that, you know, there's no secret that we like to run the football. And I didn't know if we had a guy that was a true fullback in the old school ways. And Caden kind of popped up there in the portal, and I'm like, hey, he got a role to play. And I think part of what's so neat about coaching in football, you got so many different, it's unlike any other sport. You got 11 truly different positions on offense. Maybe you're 12 if you count a fullback, all different positions on defense. And so when you're putting together a team, you want to make sure that you have every kind of position with a guy that's a quality player. And so we really didn't have a true fullback kind of guy we wanted to use in our offense. And so Caden was the guy that popped up. He fits the bill. He doesn't care if he's going to run it. You can block him every time. And so he's going to play a role for us there. But it's different constructing a roster now than it was just 5 or 6 years ago. So you got to try to bring guys in there, all have a value to your program, and then try to use them as best you can to make that value show up.
Center left, sixth row.
Jordan Edmondson, Sickos Committee. The Backyard Brawl is one of the best rivalries in college football, but we're going on hiatus. The fans want it. What needs to happen to keep that non-conference rivalry going?
Well, I think we tried. We got Pitt coming back in 28, maybe, in 3 years. And that'll be great. I mean, we should be playing them every year. And so we'll get them back. Now, I don't know how long that's going to keep going after that. But I think all what's happened in college athletics, part of the conference expansions and breakups, whatever, has caused a lot of some of those traditional rivals to go by the wayside. I mean, I've got my own opinions. I'm not afraid to share my own opinions. I love the Big 12, but it'd be nice to have some regional, you know, have us all come together. Can't we all come together and shake hands and give each other a group hug and then have a Eastern regional and a South regional and a North regional and then everybody share the money? And, you know, there's money for everybody. We all can get along, like 60 of us or so. I think that would be great. I don't know. Did anybody else say that? Probably not. They might be afraid. I don't care. I think that would be good. So I'm going to put my pitch right now. I'm not speaking for anybody that other than Coach Rod, that he would love for all the Power Four teams to come together, shake hands, and then, hey, let's get the biggest TV package in the history of TV packages. And then we can have Pitt and Virginia Tech and Penn State and Maryland and Cincinnati and maybe Virginia and North Carolina, one of those all right there. And our fans can drive to it. You know, we have a rivalry every year and everybody make money. Nobody gets fired. Players get good. And we're all, and then this place will be packed again and we can have this will be the, how would you call it, the Texas regional kind of, yeah. And it would, so you guys would come. Wouldn't that be fun? Can we put that together? I got all the ADs out there shaking their head like I'm nuts. But I'm just, I mean, this is, you know, I got more time, a lot of more time behind me than ahead of me. I want to just get this thing right before I leave.
Center left in the back.
Kenneth Bowman, GoCougs.com. Coach, with Houston on your guys' schedule again this year, what are your thoughts on Willie Fritz and what excites you about the matchup?
Yeah, Willie, that was probably the best game we played last year. We didn't play very good most of the year, but we played decently in that game. But I've known Coach Fritz since his time at Tulane, because I used to coach at Tulane, so I actually went down there and visited with him. I think he's one of the best coaches in college football. He's a proven winner, and he's approved it at all levels, which I, you know, a lot of us got started at small school levels, in whether it's Division II or junior college or high school, whatever, and Willie's proved himself at every level. He's won at every level he's been at, and he's worked, grinded his way to where he's at now, leading a top 25 team, and I think he's one of the best football coaches in America, so I got tremendous respect for him and the Houston Cougars and what they do on the football field.
Final question, we'll go to center right.
Hey, Coach. Cal Phillips, the four-star Telegram. What are you expecting from Cam Cook and his return to the Big 12?
Yeah, our running back was going to be completely new. I mean, not one person returning. So we wanted to get a veteran guy that we knew could play at this level and had some experience. Well, Cam was a leading rusher in the country. He played in a similar system at Jack State last year. Has played in the Big 12 before, and he's a complete player. And he can run, obviously. He's a great pass protector, a smart guy, can run, got great ball skills. And so he's kind of the bell cow in that room, and really pleased. He had an outstanding spring, and he was a target from, I think, maybe when he first started going, like, what's the first running back we're going to go look at? And Cam Cook was the first guy, and fortunately we got him.